Welcome to Home and Family Finance with Paul Barry. It's your family, it's your finances, and it's your future. Home and Family Finance is sponsored by the Defense Credit Union Council, serving those who serve our country, and by CUNA, the Credit Union National Association. Now, here's the host of Home and Family Finance, Paul Barry.
Welcome, everyone. Nice to have you here again this week. Looking forward to sharing some information, some financial information, some basic financial, what we call kitchen table issues. I don't do the fancy stuff. I'll leave that to others. I do the kind of stuff that we confront every day. And those issues that are sometimes just so baffling. They're simple, but we don't have the answers. And we try to provide that. And we do it by making sure that you understand the context and what we're talking about. And that's by telling you that the real title to my show is, Are You Financially Fit? And I ask you that question every week and with good purpose. And what do you mean by being financially fit? Well, first, are you making more than you spend? And I hope you are. Are you making more than you spend? You'd be surprised the number of people that are spending more than they make. And they are in trouble week after week, living paycheck to paycheck. So make sure you're making more than you spend. Second, do you have 6 months of what I like to call survival money? 6 months. Add up all of your costs, everything it costs you each month to live, and put that away for six different months. In other words, if something happened tomorrow, you know that for the next 6 months, you have 6 months of survival money, okay? You can cover all of your expenses, whatever it costs you to live. And that's untouchable. That's put aside. That's for you and for your family. In addition to that, and this is where I differ, I also ask you to have emergency money. Now, it doesn't have to be the full amount, but at least half of what you spend on a monthly basis. Put that away. That's not to be touched, okay? That's emergency money for the things that you just cannot possibly know is going to happen, for things that will happen. And you hope they don't, but they do. They always do, don't they? In the twinkling of an eye, we go from somebody who can help, who needs help. So help yourself in that. And finally, I want you to save at least 5% of what you make every month. 5%. Put it away. Don't touch it again. It's in your savings account. If you have that, folks, then you're getting very close to being what we call financially fit. No one knows that any better than my first guest from Kiplinger. She is Lisa Gerstner. Lisa comes to us she's been there since July of 2007. And she covers credit and banking along with occasional stories on mobile technology and other money-related topics. Graduated from Ball State University in this field, and if the name sounds familiar, she's been with us before. Lisa, welcome to Home and Family Finance. Nice to have you on the show.
Thanks so much for having me.
I was very struck by the topic when Kiplinger reached out to us and said that we might be able to pin you down for a few minutes to talk about how we can, with a short period of time, make some smart financial decisions for now and for the future. And because we all have those crazy schedules and barely enough time to figure out. But you listed out some things that I thought were very, very important in terms of knowing how to do it, whether it be family finances, estate planning, insurance, home, and travel. But the truth of the matter is we don't do a good job of getting ourselves ready, do we?
Yeah, like you said, I think we're all so crunched for time, and it can seem almost impossible to take on these tasks that, you know, you think it's going to take you hours. But in reality, some of this stuff could be 15 minutes, 30 minutes, an hour. So we rounded up things that you can do quickly and said, okay, you know, this is something you really can do. Just spare 15 minutes on a Saturday, and you can take care of this.
Well, I was trying to protect you from having to really come up with some 15-minute stuff, but that's really what caught my eye was the 15 minutes. You're suggesting that we can make a positive difference in our financial futures within 15 minutes. So let's talk about how you do this.
Sure. So, some of our fixes are 15 minutes, some are even 5 minutes or 10 minutes. They can be very quick. To start, you know, here's one thing you can do that I think we all face is if you see your cable or internet service bill creeping upward, you can just call the company and ask for a better deal. You know, see if you can get a promotional rate, something like that. And you might get a better deal. If not, you can try other companies or you can even go on Twitter. Some cable companies are kind of known for responding quickly and better on Twitter and getting what you want. So that's one example of something you can do, you know, unless you have a really long hold time, 15 minutes or less.
Right. So in family, I guess this we kind of filed it under the family finances. You're there and you look and you see that your cable bill is crazy, or at least going up or doubling, or maybe not doubling, but at least getting more. You can call. Are they expecting such a call?
I think so. I think a lot of people do that because they do look at their bill and they're like, oh my goodness, it went up, you know, $20 this month. What's going on? So they call in to see what's going on. So I think they probably expect that from people.
So you're not going to hurt yourself or hurt your relationship with a company like that, a cable company, whichever one it is, I guess, Fios, or I won't name them because I don't know all them. I don't know them all, but you don't hurt your credit, or you don't hurt your relationship with them by giving them a call.
No, you shouldn't. As long as you're polite, and, you know, you don't want to get angry and really aggressive with them, or they do have good reason to stop talking to you. Keep it civil, and then you should keep your relationship in good shape.
Okay. All right. So what you're saying is don't start talking about their family, about their mama, because
exactly. Yeah. That's never a good route.
It just doesn't work out, folks. You can be sure you're not going to win that battle. Okay. So what else under family finances can you do in 15 minutes or less?
Sure. Some other things you can do. This is kind of a neat one. So a lot of states have extra money that people have just forgotten about. Maybe you left a utility deposit sitting around, or an investment account even, or a bank account that you just forgot existed, and the money eventually goes to your state. So there's a website called missingmoney.com that you can go to, and you enter your name and the state of residence. You can also try previous states of residence if you've lived in other places. And it'll pop up any unclaimed property like that you may have, and also information about how to go about claiming that. You know, you may have to fill out some forms and things. But the process of just going to that site is pretty quick. You know, it just should take you a few minutes to see if you've got anything there.
A couple of years ago, we talked about that, but it's so tough. I mean, you're not going to just get the money. They put you through some hoops, don't they?
Right. So the process of getting that money is going to take more than 15 minutes. You'll probably have to fill out some forms. You may have to get something notarized. I've had to do this myself. I had a bank account I left in college that I had to get back from the state of Indiana. Mm-hmm. So that'll take some time, yes. But just finding out if you have that money is a pretty quick little thing to do.
Great idea, folks. We're talking with Lisa Gerstner, and these are some tips that I hope you are prepared to start writing down, because what she's telling you are some ways that ultimately, if you do this, we'll save you some money. We'll get back to more family finances, estate planning, things that you should be looking at that won't take a long time to kind of set up and get prepared to make your money last longer. This is Home and Family Finance. I'm Paul Berry here on the Radio America Network, and we'll be right back.
We want you to be part of the show. Email us with your financial questions. Ask about the Defense Credit Union Council. Tell us what topics you want to hear about. Or just let us know what's on your mind. We'll give you the address in a few minutes. But now, more of Home and Family Finance with Paul Berry.
And my guest is Lisa Gerstner. And let me tell you right now, I'm blowing some of your myths, some of your excuses, because I hear, well, I would do that, but it takes too much. No, it doesn't. That's what Lisa is saying. You can do some of these things. All you have to do is have the will, Lisa, to say, look, I want to get this done, and I'm not going to stand behind that old bugaboo, well, it takes too much time, because these things don't take too much time, right?
Exactly. If you can just consciously say, okay, I've got 15 minutes right now, I'm just going to focus on this, you can get it done in a snap.
And, you know, the other part of that is, I think, too, Lisa, and you can check me out on this, the hard part is getting started, isn't it? I mean, if you just will yourself to start, even if it takes longer, once you're rolling, you're happy.
Yeah, that's very true. I think that's true with a lot of areas in life, you know, things at work, things like these financial tasks. If you can just convince yourself to get started, it gets better from there.
And what if I don't have any knowledge? I'm a novice. I haven't learned, really didn't take time to figure out how to be a good manager. You can learn to be a good manager if you take the time to do it.
Exactly. And we have a lot of good advice on Kiplinger.com, too, where you can educate yourself on that.
Yeah, folks, that's right. You can go, listen, let this be your start to go to Kiplinger.com and look up this, any, and it's very comprehensive. You can go there and look up, and many of the topics we talk about here are right there, and you figure out what you want to know about. For instance, if you want to know something about estate planning, that sounds scary, but what can I do in 15 minutes there?
Estate planning. Well, I think with that one, you actually have a 30-minute fix. I don't know if we can do all these in 15 minutes, but we do have one where sharing some financial information with your family is important. So if you were to pass away first, you want to make sure that your spouse and your kids or anyone else important in your life is able to get into your stuff. So that could be social media. It could be your bank accounts. It could be just documents that you have that may be important after you die. So you'll want to create a master list that lets your spouse or other important people know how to get into those accounts, and also where to find any important documents, you know, where you put those. It's just good to be really prepared that way. It'll save your family some headaches in that case. And then just make sure you save it somewhere where they know how to get to it. So if you want to save it online, you could use a site like Dropbox.com and just make sure they have the password and your username to get in there, and you can save documents in there with all this information. And just make sure it's secure, you know, if you're going to be sharing passwords and things like that. Keep it in a safe place.
So you don't have to go to the bank and have a safety deposit box. You can have a safety deposit number or place on the net.
Yeah, there are websites like that one Dropbox I mentioned. It's just a storage site, so you can, especially documents, they don't take up much space, and you can keep them on there, usually up to a gigabyte for free on sites like that. So it can be a great way for everyone to really quickly and easily access that information.
Yeah, and think about this, folks. If you are living by yourself, single, or if you have a family, and something happens to you, God forbid, I know, you know, you're going to live forever, but somebody's going to have to follow up and say, okay, does he or she want to happen? What has he or she done? What's in place? Where do I find it? How do I get there? And can I do what they want to happen? Because if you don't tell them, Lisa, anything, I mean, then what you want to happen to you, something else can happen, right?
Right. And it even kind of extends into one of our other tips. You know, this is something that may take more like an hour or so, but if you have a very simple estate, you know, you just say, I want everything to go to my husband or something like that, very straightforward. You could even get away with maybe doing something online if you don't want to go to a lawyer. There are sites like LegalZoom, Nolo, and Rocket Lawyer, and they can generate a will for you or an estate plan for as little as $35. You know, again, I would emphasize that's only if it's really simple. It's better than nothing to do something like that. And there's also another site called caringinfo.org, and you can create a healthcare proxy and a living will so that people will know what to do if you become incapacitated and what kind of wishes you have for terminal illness. You know, again, this all goes into just making sure your family knows what to do.
All right, Lisa Gerster is my guest. She's telling you shortcuts to making sure that you make it easy for everybody else. This is Radio America. I'm Paul Berry. Home and Family Finance. We'll be right back. This is the Radio America Network. You're listening to Home and Family Finance. I'm your host, Paul Berry, and we thank you for joining us. Our program sponsor, the Defense Credit Union Council, DCUC, and we thank them for their continued support of the program, dedicated to making all of us smarter consumers. And CUNA, the Credit Union National Association. If there's a topic or subject that you want to discuss, please write to me. Or matter of fact, just contact me at hffradio.com. It's so much easier these days. hffradio.com. Leave any information you want, and we'll follow with you. Okay. The Defense Credit Union Council and its member credit unions believe that financial readiness equals mission readiness and supports the efforts of Military Saves in their dedication to improving the financial well-being of our troops. Military Saves is a year-round campaign that seeks to motivate, support, and encourage military families to save money to reduce debt and to build wealth. As part of the Department of Defense's financial readiness campaign, Military Saves acts as a resource center for information on financial education and counseling. You check out its links to useful websites for military families where they can learn better money management and can find partners who can help military members achieve their financial goals. Military Save, set a goal, make a plan, save automatically. Go to militarysaves.org for more information and take the Saver's Pledge today. And you don't have to be in the military to save. All of us should be saving. And how much? Yeah, that's right, you remember, 5% at least every week, every month of all the monies that you make. Put away 5%, okay? My guest is Lisa Gerster. She's editor, Kiplinger's Personal Finance. We're talking about some savvy and smart ways that you can get things started and make better use of your money. What else is on your mind, Lisa, that people should know about and should do?
Sure. Well, you were just talking about saving, and I think one of the most important, pretty quick things you can do is put your savings on autopilot. You know, it's easier to save if you never see that money in the first place, if it just goes straight from your paycheck to your savings account. What you can do is you can just go into your checking account and look for an option to make transfers to savings or maybe an investment account. And you can usually set them up automatically recurring for any amount you want. Just go in there and do that. You can do it pretty quickly, usually 15 minutes or less. Now, one warning I would add is sometimes, especially bigger banks, they may charge you fees to send money to outside accounts. So if you're sending it from your primary bank to your broker separately, there could be fees. So you may want to initiate the transfers through your investment account or through your savings account. Just keep an eye on that before you do it. But, again, that's a real quick one you can do, and it's very important.
And all you have to do is ask the questions. I mean, thank you for that. You're right. If there's ask the bank or your lending institution, your banking institution, or your saving, what do you charge? Is there a fee? And Lisa, as you well know, lots of times these so-called fees can be eliminated simply by somebody saying, okay, we won't charge you that. That happens, right?
It does. Sometimes all you have to do is call and ask. Just call and say, you know, can you get rid of that fee for me? It's even true. This is another thing you could do quickly. If you have maybe a late fee on a credit card, you know, I would never suggest paying your credit card late, but if you do slip up, many companies, if you just call and ask, they'll waive that late fee the first time you do it if you've been a good customer for a while.
Yeah. Now, if you have late fees and you've done it every day for the last 10 years, don't call and say, oh, I screwed up this week, because that's right. Not going to work. But if they can look at the record and they can see that you usually pay on time, and if you do and you make the request, they're likely to say, okay, we'll drop the fee this time, right?
Yeah, that's true. I even seen surveys suggesting that, you know, the majority of the time they will do it for you if you just ask.
Okay, what else do we forget to do? I what about travel? I saw travel under your list, and I wasn't sure what that means.
Yes, so one suggestion we had under the category of travel was to sign up for a TSA PreCheck. So if you're a big traveler, especially with the holiday season travel coming up, it is so worthwhile. I've done it myself. So this is where if you do a background check, you're able to go through security at the airport much more quickly and often in a separate line. You don't have to take off your shoes. You don't have to take out your laptop, take off your jacket, all that stuff you usually have to do. You can just skip it. So what you do is you go to TSA.gov, and there's a place where you can apply, do an online application. And then you'll have to go to a service center and do an in-person check where they'll do your fingerprints and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, the entire process may take a little more than an hour, depending on how long it takes you to get to that center. But, you know, I know when I did it, it was pretty quick and easy. You'll have to pay an $85 fee, but that covers you for 5 years. And again, I think it's well worth it if you travel a lot. It makes your life a lot simpler.
I tell you what, if you're in that line at the airport and you look over and you see some people in a short line and not taking off their shoes and their you know, belts and all of that, the first thing that you say is, how do I get over there? And Lisa,
yes.
you just told them how to do it. It's worth the $85, folks. Lisa, it's worth having you on the show because you always have such great tips. Would you come back and see us again soon?
Oh, of course. Love being here.
All right. What a pleasure to have you with us. Thank you so much. Lisa Gerstner from Kiplinger, and she's told you, go to kiplinger.com if you want more information. Coming up, what about, oh, my goodness, you mean somebody's trying to get into my account? Yeah, we got the person to tell you how to stop that. Coming up next here on Home and Family Finance.
Helping you be safe, smart, and secure with your finances. Welcome back to Home and Family Finance with your host, Paul Berry.
You know, I was listening to the radio or TV the other day, and this came on. This story said the FBI issued a recent warning to state election officials to beef up their cybersecurity measures after foreign hackers broke into one state's election system and targeted another. Folks, what are we talking about here? Cyber security measures. Hackers breaking into... is there anything that they can't break into? And one of the people that we know who has is knowledgeable about this is a gentleman that I've invited to the show. Eric Knight is the founder and CEO of SimpleOne. He is a foremost expert in the field of cybersecurity with more than 20 years of experience in securing businesses from cyber hacks and identity theft. He says, let's wake up, America, and think about why it is time to take your small business data seriously. I don't care how small you are, you're not too small, but the surprising part of his comment is that a data breach occurs more than you can possibly imagine. I'm not going to steal the thunder. I'm just going to welcome him now and let him kind of give you some facts and figures that may be stunning. Eric, welcome to the program.
Great. Hey, thank you for having me.
How many of us are prepared or even understand what the cyber security business is about? Do we know?
You know, it's kind of like a secret society almost, to where all of this stuff has been going on for a while, and unless it happens to somebody you know, nobody really thinks it's going to happen to them.
And yet it happens. Give us some of the numbers are just stunning in terms of the attempted intrusions on a daily basis for small businesses.
So it's just not even small businesses, but almost every internet connection across the across the land, there's an average of somewhere around 10,000 attempted intrusions into your personal or business internet connection on a daily basis, and most people aren't even aware that or what or if or what's going on there, and it's really bad, but you don't see it.
You wait a minute, Eric. I want you to repeat that, because I'm looking at it now like, did you know that? How many times is somebody trying to get into my personal or my business account or my online business? How many times a day?
It happens an average of about 10,000 attempts a day, and they're mostly automated by computers now. So, somebody can set up a hacker can set up a computer to go in and try to find all the vulnerabilities out there, and that's how they get in, and it's all automated.
What are they looking for?
So there's things out there called 0 days and, different. That's why you hear on the news, Apple's got a new software security fix, or Microsoft has got this new security fix. It's because somebody detected a vulnerability that lets a hacker or somebody do something bad.
Aha. So that's why they send out an updated whatever to your computer, because they have learned that hackers have been successful in some form or fashion in getting through their security.
That's exactly it. And once it's out in the what we call the wild, it goes onto the hacking list or the hacker list, and they try to use those vulnerabilities to get in. And a lot of times it's successful because it's the same thing over and over again. So people what's called script it, and it's just so easy at that point. That's why keeping up to date is so important on every system, whether it's your phone, computer, tablet. You've got to do those updates the second they come out.
Am I too small to worry about this in terms of my personal account or my small business?
No. What's happened is you've got these big enterprises that are spending billions of dollars, and they're arming up their security force. They're hiring cybersecurity experts. They're spending money on equipment. And so what's happening is everything runs downstream, and they've realized that small business isn't. And that's where they target, because it's all about the easiest target. And right now, since those large corporations are so hard to get into, a lot of hackers are moving into, smaller businesses.
And when they do, and we're talking right now with Eric Knight, a 20-year veteran of the cybersecurity industry, folks. He knows what he's talking about. This is not done to scare you. What I'm saying to you is that you must understand that someone is trying to get into your personal business thousands of times a day. And you have to be careful. What are they exclusively looking for, Eric?
Well, see, the hacking game has changed. I mean, 10, 15 years ago, it was like, hey, look at how cool I am. Look what I did. And today, it's about money. And there is money to be made off of information. There's money to be made off credit card numbers, financial data. Data and doing stuff is all about money. So if you upset somebody, and you've got one of those fancy Wi-Fi thermostats or something like that, and there's a vulnerability out there, and somebody comes after you, they could literally, see, we're in Arizona, they could turn down our air conditioner in the middle of the night down to 40 degrees and run up a $1,000 bill, and we would never even know it, especially if they programmed it to come back to normal when we get to the office. Those kind of things can happen, and it's real money.
That's amazing, just amazing. And am I likely to know that I've been hacked?
Most likely everybody's had some type of data breach. And the last stats I saw is that for almost every American, their data was leaked 7 times of some sort in the last 5 years onto the internet.
And what I meant by that, though, if I am hacked, and I will be, do I know it? Or
a good hacker isn't going to let you know it. The whole idea of a good hack is to not get caught, because the second you're caught, the data becomes that much less valuable.
Wow, unbelievable. Just unbelievable stuff. We're talking and with Eric Knight. We're talking to you about understanding the danger here, cybersecurity, and the need to protect. We're talking to you. When we come back, we'll tell you when the biggest attack time and, you know, and some other things that you should know that could help you protect yourself. This is Home and Family Finance. I'm Paul Berry.
Want you to be part of the show. Email us with your financial questions. Ask about the Defense Credit Union Council. Tell us what topics you want to hear about, or just let us know what's on your mind. We'll give you the address in a few minutes. But now, more of Home and Family Finance with Paul Berry.
My guest is Eric Knight, a 20-year veteran of the cybersecurity industry. His company is well, queried all the time because folks have found out that they have been hacked. Let me, according to the USA Today, 43% of businesses worldwide had a data breach in 2014. 43%, folks, and most didn't know they had been breached. 77% say their company is safe from cyber threats. 66% say they're not concerned with hackers. And 47% believe a data breach would have no impact on their business. Are they fooling themselves, Eric?
They are. I mean, everybody's in such a rush to get everything online. People really didn't think about, hey, what is the after effect of doing so? I know when people look for a house and look for, a business, they're looking, okay, what kind of internet can I get here? Over what kind of schools are here and things like that. Because it's so critical, and everybody's, you know, they want everything online.
Yeah.
Wearable technologies, you know, phones, thermostats, just everything. And that's a scary thought at the same time because nobody thinks, oh, well, how do I secure this?
And is it securable? And what I mean...
It's a race.
Okay. But what I mean is, look, you do this for business. I mean, and I know, and a very successful one, by the way, folks. He is sought after by, you can imagine, great companies because they want to protect themselves, and they have great money to pay you. But for the average person like me, or a young small business guy or woman running their business, can they afford to protect themselves?
They've got to do something. And when I say that hacking is a diminishing returns game, is they'll go for an easier target because that's what the game's about, unless it's, of course, you know, personal thing.
Yeah.
But that's it. People will go to the store and buy the cheapest firewall that they can put in because it's on sale and they know nothing about it. And that's the first bad step. And then they'll forego their antivirus, you know, renewal because they're like, oh, well, it's not doing anything. I don't see any catching anything. I don't need this. And, you know, they'll just let little things pass. And over time, that turns into a big, big gaping issue, a gaping hole for somebody to get in.
And they will use it. Somebody will eventually, if with that many attempts are going on, sooner or later, they're going to hit you.
That's it. And there are full databases that are free out there that people can look at. And they can find out what type of firewall you have, what type of devices that you have open to the internet and port forwarded. So if you've got cameras, there is a whole database out there of every single, like, baby camera that's open to the world. There was a big article on that a few months ago. I mean, that stuff is out there. People, you know, want convenience, but they really have to think about who else can see these kind of things.
And let me talk about that for just a minute, because that's the scary part, too. Is it true that if I leave my computer on, or at least in place, that somebody can actually hack into the camera and get the and watch me from watch what's happening in my house or watch what I'm doing?
So it's certainly not an easy task, but it is very possible that, yes, the camera built into the computer could very well be compromised and be recording. And not just that, your microphone, even on your phone, they've shown hacks to where they can record what's going on in a room while the phone's in sleep mode.
It's just, you know, it's scary. It really is. But I think what's even worse is that for those of us who don't believe it and don't do anything about it, and you're saying there's some things we can do about that. And I want to get to that in just a moment. But I want to also, because I pointed out, there are times when the biggest attack times. Take us through when hackers are more likely to strike us.
So the most activity that we see is Sunday morning at like 2 to 3 a.m. in the morning because they know nobody's paying attention and nobody's watching. Even, you know, especially businesses is really where those stats come from, because first of all, a lot of it's foreign. And when it comes in, they know that the first thing that somebody comes into work Monday morning, they're not going to be looking for a hack. They're going to be overwhelmed with the catch-up from the weekend and everything else. And so the best time to compromise and get into a system is, you know, is the weekend, is a holiday, is Christmas, is, you know, those types of times. Because when you come back to work or the IT staff comes back to work, the last thing they're doing is checking for that. And the last thing that they want to do, just like you and everybody else, is to sit at home on Christmas Day and monitor a network looking for, you know, people trying to get in.
So Sundays, 2 or 3 in the morning, a Christmas holiday, a big holiday, they come in and they hack and they just get their stuff in place and just sit there and wait for you to come in and open up and start doing your business.
That's it. I mean, so there's all types of hacks, obviously. But yeah, I mean, the idea is to get in undetected and not be found, and then you just slowly dig deeper and deeper and deeper through time, and you go undetected, and it's successful as long as it's undetected.
I was going to wait, but I want to find this out. Now, how often should I, well, first of all, what should I do to check to see whether or not I've been hacked? Yeah, that's big. What do I need to do?
Do something. And that's really it. Do something. Everybody does nothing. And that's really the core issue. Even businesses, a lot of them just do nothing. They just like, hey, we're up, we're working, I don't see any problems, but the symptom is not necessarily the cause.
Right.
And just the basics of, hey, I'm going to plug in stuff and roll to town, that doesn't work anymore.
But when you say do something, Eric, what do you mean? I mean, let's get to it. What can I do? Do I call you? Do I have a company come in? Do I close off or turn off? What do I need to do? What are the basic things that I need to do at my home computer or my small business computer to check to see if I've been hacked?
So the first thing that we always say is, you know, always have an antivirus. Always run that on every single computer. But things are certainly getting more complicated with devices going on the network, because you can't run antivirus on your phone or, you know, things like that. The idea is do that, absolutely, first and foremost. Things that we do is we provide, you know, firewalls that act as an alarm service. So, you know, we always ask people, okay, you've got a firewall, great. Who's monitoring it? Because we compare it to an alarm system for a house or a business, people would never buy an alarm system and not have a company monitor it, because guess what? It's worthless. The police would never come. And so when you buy a device that stands, you know, off the shelf that sits in the corner and nobody's paying attention, it's completely worthless. It's not calling the police saying, hey, you've got a problem. Mm-hmm. And those type of active services and measurements are required today, just so that you know it's up to date and you know that it's performing properly. Because the second you buy something off the shelf, it's out of date. And unless you're a certified IT person that knows how to keep these things up to date and knows what to look for, you're in a losing battle.
My guest, Eric Knight, folks, 20-year veteran of the cybersecurity industry. His company is set up and designed to take people back from the precipice, from the breach of people hacking into your computer. When we come back, we'll ask him about those things that you can do and how to reach out to him and other companies like him to protect yourself. This is Home and Family Finance. I'm Paul Berry. Listening to Home and Family Finance. I am your host, Paul Berry, and as always, looking out for you in every way possible. Today we're talking with Eric Knight. He is a cybersecurity expert and has a company that is set up called SimpleWAN, and you can view him or see him. I guess you can view him here. It says here, yeah, you can on video, www.youtube.com/watch. He's available. You can watch and talk to him or find out more. Is there an easier way to reach out to you, Eric?
Our website's best, which is just simplewan.com, is always good. And there's the YouTube links as well. And, you know, we try to just illustrate and publish good blogs and articles as to really what's going on out there and things that you can do.
Okay. And again, simple. Spell that for us, for the audience.
It's simple. So SimpleWAN, and then WAN. So, and that's it, .com.
All right, folks, SimpleWAN.com. So if you've heard something here from Eric that's makes you feel like, hey, I got to do something. And that's what he says. Don't just sit there and do nothing. Okay, so I go in the store and I decide I want to buy some device that's going to stop me from being hacked, or at least alert me to that the fact that I might somebody's trying or somebody has. What do I buy?
Well, and that's the scary thing. It's not really a thing that you can just go pick up at the store. It needs to be somebody that, you know, an expert or a service. And there's lots out there. Like I said, we focus on businesses and we have that. But on a personal level, there's all kinds of startups now that are issuing those types of little devices. But as of right now, it's still really early, and those kind of things just don't exist in, you know, in stores. The old stuff still does.
Okay, so if you have something that you think is, I guess it becomes a matter of value. What do I have to protect versus what would it cost me to protect that? And I think everybody understands that. If I don't want somebody to come into my stuff or look at my stuff or just even come in and the chance that somebody might be screwing around with my computer somewhere in the world, if that's important to you, then it's worth having someone like Eric or other. How many are there lots of companies out there that can do this and do a good job?
There are, and they provide all kinds of aspects. They bring compliance aspects, and that's the biggest thing that's coming up on business is the government and organizations are saying, hey, enough's enough. We're going to set compliance rules and start fining people for not following them. So whether you like it or not, as a business, you'll fall in line on the compliance things. And, of course, most people will naturally, you know, reap the benefits of that because businesses are the biggest losers of data out there.
These are questions that probably are simplistic to you, but somebody's hacked my machine or somebody's gotten into my business. Do I have to get rid of that equipment or can it be fixed? And can I protect it?
It's a case-by-case basis, but, you know, when the data breach itself happens, it's a critical moment. There are rules now to where businesses have to disclose to the public at a certain time period when they detect a breach and notify everybody. They have to do things like cover certain identity theft things. So that's progressing, but to just give you an idea, you hear about all these credit card thefts in the market space. A lot of the merchant fines and things like that now average about $250 per credit card number that's lost for a non-compliant company. And so you can see how that would add up really fast.
Absolutely. And that would be the fine if they didn't protect it.
That's correct.
So that's an incentive for companies to do more and to do better to make sure that my personal information is protected.
That's exactly it. I mean, a small business could easily run 1,000 credit cards in a month. And, you know, if they're not taking care of it and doing the things that are standards now, they could end up with a $250,000 fine. And that's tough for a small business.
Eric, where are we going? Where is all of this heading? Where are we heading? What's going to happen? How do you see the marketplace in the next 5 years?
We're going to continue to add devices to the internet and the network. The devices and these sensors will be all around us. But I think that the hardest part to starting a business is going to be making sure you're compliant and your computer security is there before you'll even be allowed to start a business. It'll probably be a big part of starting a business and a big financial expenditure to get going, maybe the biggest in the next 5 years. And that's things that people need to prepare for, and I don't think a lot of people are prepared for that yet.
So that's a real expense that's going to face the person that wants to open up a business or do a business.
Exactly.
Eric, what a pleasure. Eric Knight, folks, with Simple One. He's told you how to reach out to him if you want more information. And he's also said to you in very plain, simple language, do something. Don't just sit there and feel sorry for yourself. Find out if you have been hacked. Find out how you can protect yourself. Eric, thanks for being with us. Come back and see us again soon, would you?
Sounds good. Thank you.
What a pleasure to have you on the program. Folks, we hope you've enjoyed it. I told you, I'm waking you up to stuff that you ought to know about, you ought to care about, and finally, you ought to do something about it. I'll be back here the same time, same place next week. I'll be looking for you. Eric, a pleasure to have